Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to PGIM India Mutual Fund presents Smart Investing. Ahalya here, keeping you company, everybody. And we've got an incredibly important conversation for all of you investors on today's podcast. You know, when I first started my investment journey, it was all about the profit, right? I was like, how can I get the best returns? What can I do to make sure that I'm financially healthy in the future and now? It was all geared towards that plus sign. But there's a very important sign, the minus sign that we don't often think about that plays a very crucial role in our investment journeys. And that minus sign denotes debt. Debt is something that we all have to experience in our lives in some way, shape, or form. How it arrives into your life, whether it's a choice or circumstance, and how you deal with it can determine greatly the extent of your personal finances and your financial health. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the concept of debt, right? How it shows up, ways in which to avoid it, and when it shows up, how you can make the best of that moment and actually move ahead of it. You know, like there's yin and yang, there's growth and debt. It all goes hand in hand, and it's all about understanding it so that it doesn't hold you down. So over to Ravi and Lisa for a more in-depth conversation on all of this. Stay tuned to this episode.
An article recently caught my attention, and I thought we must discuss this topic in our podcast. The article said that the Indian household debt has been increasing over the past 3 years, which means people are taking more and more loans. If we break up this debt, the report identified 3 reasons for these household loans. The first is consumption, which includes your personal loans, credit card loans for consumer durables. The second is asset creation, like your housing loans. Lastly, productive activities such as loans for agriculture, business ventures, and education also form a significant part of this borrowing. So what I understand is that not all loans are bad. For instance, if you're taking a loan for education or building an asset like home, that's good. Home land prices could appreciate in future, and you also get a rental yield on your home. Similarly, investing in education and skill building will help you increase your probability of getting employment or get a promotion or perhaps build new skills which could be monetized to build a secondary income. But piling on debt to fund your discretionary lifestyle can be detrimental. And that can be a bad debt because it's not really earning any income. To take this discussion forward, I have with me Lisa to delve deeper on this topic. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Ravi.
So, Lisa, in all our previous discussions, we have talked about the various aspects of investing. But today, let's talk about the other side of the coin, that is debt. After all, debt of some kind, personal loan, home loan, credit cards, and so on, it's all part of our lives.
Yeah, Ravi. So, whether we like it or not, debt is a part of our lives. And now with credit rating agencies being relied on by banks for assessing an individual's credit worthiness. You know, everyone gets that credit score and you have to kind of figure out what your credit score is. Ideally, you should have some form of debt to get a credit score. So it sounds counterintuitive because, you know, why should one be encouraged to borrow more? But that's how the system is, I guess. So loans are a part of our lives. But coming back to what you were saying, it's not just our podcast, but in general, people will talk a lot more about their investments rather than the debt on their personal balance sheet, whereas both are part of our financial lives. Debt can be in many forms. The obvious ones that majority of the people would have is a home loan or a car loan. Beyond that, there are, as you said, personal loans, education loans, consumption-linked loans, and even credit card outstanding, which does qualify as debt. So you can identify, you know, what are the various forms of debt or, as we say, liability in your life. Personally, in our family, we don't have big loans like car or home, but we do use credit cards. So now that's a form of temporary debt in my life. However, we are careful to repay it on time. So that's, you know, just alluding to behavior around debt. That's one way to look at it also.
Yes, personally, I have a home loan that I'm servicing, and I also use credit cards, but that's only for emergency purpose. And, you know, whenever I buy some consumer durables, I use the zero cost EMI option. I also make sure that I pay the all due amount in full and not just the, you know, minimum payment due, which is there in credit card. So what can you tell our listeners about debt? Is it good or bad? And which type of debt should one take or, you know, stay away from? Because there's, you know, so much noise in this area and so many differing views.
Yeah, so the simplest way to consider this is that is taking a loan is not good, right? As we mentioned, why should you borrow? We should spend within our limits of affordability and live within our means, as the saying goes. And if that happens, then why would you need to borrow? But when you look around, you see businesses borrow routinely. However, businesses are not individuals, right? They borrow to create something. And when that happens, there is an additional income by selling that product or service that gets generated. And then this income can be used to repay debt. So if you are borrowing to create an asset like a home or even for education, which is really an investment in yourself, or to buy a car, which in turn can be used for things like going to work, and work is something that will generate income for you, then your loan is not productive. It's productive because you get some kind of additional income. If you're living in that home, then you are also hopeful for a capital appreciation because it's an asset. Now contrast this with consumption linked loans like personal loans and credit card overdrafts. These are loans which get used for things that don't grow in value. So usually for goods or services, I say because of travel loans, that's also a big thing nowadays, bought via credit card or the overdraft facility. You know, for all these things that we are buying on loan, which are consumables, there is an affordable alternative available. Moreover, these goods or services are bought with loans which do not help in, you know, enhancing your income in any way. Hence, there's an increase in cost due to interest payment, but no complementary increase in income. And if you see the data for the last few years, you will see that this component of retail loans, personal loans, is what is growing really, really fast. These are the types of loans you need to be careful about adding: consumption-linked loans, personal loans. If you keep piling on these kind of unproductive loans, at one point, you'll find that you're not able to repay them all because, let's face it, your income remains the same, but you are spending more by adding interest cost on top of the cost of the good or the service that you have bought. So buying goods and services for consumption consistently on loan simply means you're living beyond your means and your ability to afford.
Yes, you're right. And one aspect which I have personally noticed is that I make most of my payments online, be it through credit card or, you know, UPI or Google Pay. So you don't actually feel that you're spending money because it's, you know, it's an online transaction and you're not actually paying cash. So it's not tangible and you don't feel anything. So are you saying that taking a home loan is okay, but you should not take a personal loan?
So I think, you know, whatever loan you take, you need to assess it a little bit. Whether you take a loan or not at all will depend on your overall financial situation, your financial health. Yes, a home loan makes more economic sense than a travel to Europe kind of loan, but you still have to weigh whether you can afford the home loan you're taking or not. As a rule of thumb, large-sized home loans need to be carefully evaluated, right? If you are buying a house and taking an 85% or 90% loan on the value of that house, what is that monthly repayment amount going to work out to? You need to think that through, right? Is this monthly EMI going to eat up more than 50% or 60% of your monthly net income or salary, which you're going to bring home, which is the inflow? Then what is left to spend on your recurring needs or your wants? You know, you have to kind of assess that. If you're taking a large size loan on the value of the house, what about the payments like stamp duty, registration, GST? And what about the money you will need to do up the house? All of these are going to add on to the cost of the house. And while your loan will reduce some immediate kind of financial stress, can you afford the rest of it? Because the loan will be on the value of the house, not the additional expenses. Or do you need to take an additional personal loan for it? So these are things that personal circumstance of a person will matter. Your personal financial health will matter. Just to give you a sense, if you take a 1 crore loan, you end up paying 1 crore as interest. If the interest cost is at 8.5% and on a 20-year loan period. So your total repayment becomes 2 crores after 20 years, which includes principal of 1 crore and interest of 1 crore approximately. So yeah, home loans are more productive, but you have to focus on the details. And taking a long-term asset-linked loan does not mean that you don't give consideration to your own personal affordability.
Yeah, I mean, home loans are a major chunk of liability, you know, for most households. And I think you rightly said that people are not focusing on how much interest they're paying. As you rightly said that on a 1 crore loan, you end up paying 1 crore as an interest over this 20-year loan. So personally, what I did was for my home loan, I repaid it in 5 to 6 years time period. Wow. And when it comes to long-term loans, some experts advise that you can repay early or that, you know, you should start an, you know, SIP for the same amount. So is that a way to reconsider your, you know, loan and maybe recover your interest through, you know, whatever you earn through SIPs?
Again, whether to prepay a loan, delay it and save through mutual fund SIPs. So some people say you must, you know, keep the loan and use whatever you are going to use to repay it or prepay it rather to start mutual fund SIPs or, you know, whether you should replace the EMI with SIP. Again, these are all very personal choices to a great extent. Yes, there is a financial aspect to it, but it also depends on the individual or the family's overall financial health. If you consider only the economic value, there is great value in prepaying a loan. As you said, that you also ended up doing that because you do save on the interest cost. So let's look at it with some data. So let's say you take a 2 crore home loan at 8.5% for a 20-year tenure. Your EMI will be roughly 1.73 lakh. And the total repayment after 20 years will be 4.15 crore. As I mentioned, you end up paying double the value of your loan if you keep it for the entire tenure. Now, let's assume you begin prepayment after the first 3 years and prepay 5 lakhs every year. Your total interest cost actually reduces to 1.5 crores from 2.16 crore. 2.16 crore was the total interest cost. It reduces to 1.5 crores. So that's a saving of 66 lakh. And your tenure is reduced by 6 years. So hence enhancing your cash flow, right? Because your loan is done 6 years before time. Now the argument that people use is that you can get a tax benefit on the interest paid for the home loan. So, you know, no point prepaying. Firstly, now under the new tax regime, these benefits are curtailed. Secondly, even under the old regime, there is a limit of 2 lakh for interest deduction for tax saving in a year. So where on a 1 crore loan, the total interest cost for 1 year is likely to be close to 7.5 lakhs. So there is no benefit for the extra 5.5 lakhs, right? For 2 lakhs, you will get a tax deduction. But what about the rest? In fact, for the first 10 years of the loan, the total annual interest cost will be in excess of rupees 5 lakhs a year. So there is a lot of room there, which is not getting covered by your tax deduction. So for rupees 2 lakhs, you get the benefit, which is close to 70,000 a year. But what about the rest of the high interest costs? The question is, can you afford it? That is the basic question. I think the tax comes later. In my opinion, it makes sense to keep your monthly EMI to a level of 40% to 50% of your monthly family income so that the repayment does not become a burden, right? That's what you need to consider. Secondly, prepaying does save you from paying heavy interest costs. So, you know, whatever combination works for you, you can think about that. Thirdly, repaying your home loan early frees up cash flow to invest in the market. This is a simple way to look at it rather than, you know, thinking of what kind of alternatives there are. The other argument people use is that home loan interest rate is lower than the expected long-term equity rate. So let's just keep investing the lump sum and not repay or prepay our home loan. While that is true, banks do not charge you interest in a linear way, right? They front load your interest cost. What that means is that by the time the first 10 years of your 20-year tenure are done, you have paid 75% of the interest cost. So it's not like while the interest is 8.5% a year, that's not how it is deducted. Your EMI has more interest less principal in the first 10 years of the tenure. So that argument of, you know, home loan interest rate is lower and expected long-term equity rate is higher. Yes, but that's not how it's working out. You have to pay a lot more in the first few years, and the opposite happens in equity. You gain actually in the latter years. So think about the big picture always. Keep your home loan affordable in size. Keep EMIs affordable and prepay because interest costs are front loaded. That's how I look at it.
Yes, I can very much, you know, relate to what you're saying, because I was also servicing a home loan and I paid most of the principal prepayments from the bonuses that I was getting every year. So that's how I did it. And even if you pay one extra EMI every year, that can also reduce a lot of your interest cost. So Lisa, if someone has too many loans, how should they approach repayment or prepayment?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, firstly, it's best to live within your means and avoid consumption-linked loans. So far as possible, don't buy your phone on EMI, that kind of thing, or don't keep credit card overdues. Then this whole problem of too many loans only gets reduced, right? High interest loans are the worst and they hurt the most. So if you are struggling with too many loans, first figure out the interest cost of each and start by repaying the highest cost loan first. So while your home loan EMI may be the largest absolute amount, say if it's close to 2 lakhs or whatever a month, your credit card overdue for the month may look lower, say at, you know, a lakh or whatever. We're just assuming numbers here. But the credit card repayment should ideally take priority in case you have limited funds. That's because the credit card charges you 36% to 40% interest a year, as compared to 8%, 8.5% on a home loan. So that's way more expensive. You're going to end up paying large interest on a very small outstanding. That's why, you know, you can consider repaying the highest cost loan first if you have many loans and you have limited monthly income to repay or to service those loans. Debt is tricky, honestly speaking, and the real cost of debt is much larger than just the numbers and the interest payment. It's the stress, it's the underconfidence, and even the emotional strain on your relationships. And that's why, again, best to live within what you can afford.
Yes, you're right, Lisa. In fact, I think most people don't know that credit cards are charging 36 to 40% interest rate per year. So that's not cheap at all. And you're absolutely right. There are more emotional aspects associated with debt, and it, you know, it's not just money. Money can affect our relationships. Now, as we wrap up this episode, here are my 5 key learnings. The first one is, it's best to live within our means and avoid too much consumption loans. The second learning is that do not keep your credit card overdues. Just paying the minimum due adds up to the interest burden. High interest loans are the worst and can hurt the most. The third learning is that it makes sense to keep your monthly EMI to a level of 40 to 50% of your family income so that the repayment does not become a burden. The fourth learning is that if you're borrowing to create an asset like a home or education, it is an investment in yourself so you earn a future income. The fifth learning is that if you're struggling with too many loans, first figure out the interest cost for each of this loan and start by repaying the highest cost loan first. So Lisa, thank you once again for helping our listeners with tips to manage their debt better. We will see you in the next episode.
Thanks, Ravi. As usual, this was a great conversation.
That was so enlightening. And, you know, I think the use of numbers and some real hard data allows us to really get a clear picture of what we're dealing with. Home loans, car loans, these are things that we see advertised to us all the time. The idea of borrowing money is also something that I guess is normalized in today's day and age. And it's really important for us to consider all of our options before making a decision that could greatly impact your financial health, right? So I hope you took a lot of actionable insights from today's episode. We'll be back with another interesting and engaging conversation very soon. But in the meantime, happy investing, everybody. That's a wrap on this episode of PGIM India Mutual Fund Presents Smart Investing. This is Mia Halia signing
off. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.